Hi, Esther.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're waiting for some other people.
Okay, no problem. Hello?
Hello?
Good. Hannah.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Before we begin, I would ask your forgiveness. Because yesterday I missed two times. I was sleeping through both of them. And so I do ask for forgiveness and apologize.
You are forgiven. We understand. We understand fully. Been there, done that.
But did you buy the t-shirts like I did? With all of that in mind, please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedula
Dimika. Tati.
Alapetimo Yutta Sadi. The letters of the month of Tishrei, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Lamed that created the constellation Mosnaim, the scales, which is the astrological sign of Libra. Yachid Geah, Yud-Gimel-Lamed, Hey Zion Kuf. Shabbatenu
Kabel, Shema Yachatei, Yodea, Talmud.
Shinkufav, Sadiyutav. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into this space, we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate the negative aspect of that creation. Adonai Yoheh Waheh, Adonai Yoheh Waheh, El Rahum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim V'Ral Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed La'Lavim, Notze Awon V'Afesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakeh. And now we're going to read the verses that we connect to, which allows us to connect to the energy of the various years. We're going to start with the L'Shem Yehud. And once that is completed, we will read the first verse that comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, which connects to the year 5777. Which is the year of the wake-up, the year of Teshuvah, and also the year of the goat. Adonai Yoheh Waheh, Adonai Yoheh Waheh, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim Shirav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer chesed la'alavim, notzer avon b'afesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. Tod tzaduni katzipor, oyevai sinam. The first letters of these five words of this verse can be parsed into three words, tzatz, ki, ach. And these three words translate as appear like brothers. And it's teaching us to fake it till you make it. Pretend to be brothers with every human being, and eventually you will actually become brothers. The final letters can be permutated into two words, Gil and Yam. And this translates as the Sea of Tenants. And this teaches us, it reminds us, that we do not live in this physical world. We're here to do spiritual work, but we're just tourists. Don't get too comfortable. Don't become spies. Remember, you're a tenant. There is another word, verse that comes with the name of the year, parsed within the verse itself, and these letters, Taf Shin Ayin Zion, are seven letters apart in this verse. It is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yoheh Waheh Eloheichem Hadivaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The next two verses will connect us to the year of the pause, of the year 5776. First verse is 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 34. Racha kohanim hayu limat, velo yachlu lehashit, et kol ha'olot v'yechastum achechem ha'levim ad kilot hamlacha v'yad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to commutate them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me He 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 Aka Are Kaha. And Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bithu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tsur Olami. Three verses connect us to the year 5775, the year that the potential energy was to swallow the angel of death. Kama lo tinshe mimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. That verse was Job chapter 7, verse 19. This next verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mipol hamachavo iyam asher yitzabei sham ushavtem elai el nahom v'halakti ithem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti O Toba call Alfe Yehuda. Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kagelo lanetzach Yoved Roav Yomru Ayo. The last verse is from the year 5774, the energy of peace in the Middle East. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom amili Israel umtati vishatan tata velo yirgaz
velo. I had an incomplete order.
Bala anoto We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Yitro.
As well as the pipeline.
It has the energy. Of
the order was up.
No, this is always up.
Since we have background voices, I'm going to have to mute your phones. If you want to ask a question during the class, feel free to do so. We recommend it, but to do so, you'll have to press star 6.
Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nan Dekucha Parifu Kolma Diaved Leila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot v'ovada, tikshot v'leit lach mila b'alma divaye, parnash l'dachya le'ya mineya, ulan hagabeya kilana dehakulu, ovada tikshot inun wikola, it's the rich. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God.
and the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, today's class has a handout that can be found on the Revealed Wisdom page, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's go to row 8, the second column from the left, the Advanced Teshuvah classes. When you open that out, up, scroll down to the classes on Tishrei, and the handout today is class number 3 under the Tishrei section. We're going to be talking about Sukkot, which starts tonight. Sukkot is a extreme has extreme number of mitzvot and rituals associated with it, and it really deserves a lot of study. But since it's the third of the three major holidays or five major holidays within Tishrei, it tends to be less studied than it really warrants. After the break fasts, it is recommended to do one action that commences the building of the sukkah. Prior to Yom Kippur, the halakha suggests that we not do any actions related to the sukkot. There are 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Ari says during these days, the energy of chesed comes into the universe. Chesed is usually translated as loving kindness. So we are talking about the energy of love. We're talking about the energy of kindness. These are not holidays in the traditional sense. They are high energy days in every sense. Day 11 is considered Keter of Chesed. Day 12 is Chachma of Chesed. Day 13 is Bina of Chesed. And today, being the 14th of Tishrei, is Da'at of Chesed. The holiday of Sukkot is about generating the energy of Chesed for your whole year. It represents the right column in the tree of life. Included in Chesed is the energy of certainty. When one builds a hut and moves to dwell in that hut for a period of 7 days, one is demonstrating and also increasing his level of certainty with the Creator, within the Creator. The sukkah itself is an antenna for the energy of chesed. The four species are also antenna for a different level of chesed. One is external and one is internal. The sukkah represents surrounding light, while the four species represents internal energy. The hakafot, the circles, represent manifesting the surrounding light for the whole year. This is also the holiday that creates the possibility to eliminate anti-Semitism for all of this year. This is done through the hearing of the daily Torah reading, dealing with the 70 bowls that are sacrificed during the week of Sukkot. There is a unique ritual called Baal HaShoeva, the pouring of the water, or the water festival. In temple times, this was done each day, taking a water barrel to the river to retrieve water to wash the altar. It is not done today, except one day during the holiday of Sukkot, which is on Netzach of Chesed, the fifth day of the holiday, which this year would be Friday. Excuse me, it would be Thursday. The Talmud describes this as not knowing joy until you have experienced this ritual. That's an amazing statement. And from my own personal experience, I know it to be true. I'm now going to read an email that explains touches on the inner meaning of Sukkot. Shabbat Sukkot Chol Hamoed, which is next Shabbat, is an amazing experience when one understands the message in the reading. The essence of this reading is central column energy, its balance. How does right column energy become balance? Central column energy? This is the amazing aspect of love. That is why the last phrase in the last verse of the reading is the famous verse, "Do not cook a calf in its mother's milk." This verse is the essence of the laws of kashrut. Most people are never informed that these regulations help us to maintain balance in our lives by not eating things that have too much mixed energies. This is explained by this phrase dealing with milk, which is a food that has the energy of continuity, and cooking a slaughtered cow, which represents the energy of death or end. When this is done, people with Jewish souls find it difficult to balance these two energies. In fact, in my opinion, this is true for every human being. We also get this message when we look at the 38 verses in the reading. The word lach means freshness, vigor, moisture, virility. When we add the six verses of the Maftir, we get 44, which is the Hebrew word blood or dam, Dalet Mem. Do you see how these words are opposites? Finally, the 240 verses in the book of Kohelet, representing the word Safek in Gematria, which is doubt. It is also the gematria for the nation of Amalek. The 17 spaces represent the word tov in gematria, which means good. Again, the balancing of the two kinds of energy. Doubt can never be good because it separates you from Hashem, who has no doubt, only certainty. Which is why Hashem is at war with Amalek throughout the generations. Finally, an amazing revelation. There are two large letters in Kohelet, a Tet in chapter 7, verse 1, and a Samach in chapter 12, verse 13. The word Tos, spelled out, Tet Vav Samach, means to speed or to fly. In reverse spelling, Samach Vav Tet, Sot, means to deviate. When thought of as an acronym, TET means good, and SAMACH means support. We learn from these letters it is good to support others. Now let's look at the Haftorah. There are 22 verses related to the 22 Hebrew letters. There are three spaces representing the three columns. I have discussed this before, but to make it easy for those of us with bad memories, which is all of us, the three columns are right, representing sharing, left, which represents receiving, and the central column, which balances the two aspects of sharing and receiving. When we have the 22 letters in the format of the three columns, we have the tree of life. To truly understand Sukkot and Shabbat Chol HaMoed, we need to understand about the 70 sacrifices, which are read by the daily readings of the Torah, read during Sukkot. There are three rituals associated with Sukkot. One is the sukkah, which represents and actually is an antenna to draw the energy of chesed, which is chesed of bina, the energy store named bina. We must make use of the energy store bina on Yom Kippur when we create the year of our desires. Two, the shaking of the four species, referred to as the Arba Minim, which represents the drawing of the energy of Chesed of Zeranpin. And three, the Hakafot of circles that we do each day, and multiple circles on Hoshana Rabbah. These circles are antenna for the energy of Chesed of Malchut. And in fact, we make Hakafot throughout the holiday of Sukkot. And as we know, 13 is the energy of Echad, unity, oneness. We can see now how these rituals unite the three levels of Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. And when we reunite three, they become one. This is really the secret of Jacob marrying both Leah and Rachel. These two sisters are chariots, channels for Bina and Malchut, while Jacob represents Zeranpin. This is why the 12 tribes of the children of Israel came out of these three chariots, which is really one nation. On the first day of Sukkot, the Maftir reading is about 13 paras, 13 bulls. On the second day, we decrease by 1 to 12 bulls. On the third day, we come down again to 11. This continues until we reach 7 bulls on the seventh day. Guess what 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7 adds up to? It adds up to the number 70. One bull is sacrificed for each of the 70 nations. When the temple existed, the sacrifice was done by the Kohanim, by the priests. After the destruction of the temple, the sages teach us that the reading and the hearing of the Torah portions replaces the sacrifices and does what the actual sacrifice did in the temple. This, of course, must be done by each member of the tribe of Jewish souls. Even if one person is missing, the other 70 nations feel a lack from this sacrifice. Yet the more children of Israel who hear the readings, the less lack they feel. When this lack is too large, meaning not enough Jews heard the reading, the nations do actions of anti-Semitism to wake up the children of Israel. This is the reason that anti-Semitism exists in the physical world. Let me explain further. When the children of Israel are doing its spiritual job and sharing from these sacrifices with the 70 nations, these nations do not feel any lack in the area that relates to its relationship with the children of Israel. Each nation has a unique relationship with the children of Israel. That unique relationship is different from each nation or for each nation, and it feels the lack in a different way than every other nation. Each year there are 7 days of Sukkot. When we do these sacrifices correctly on a given day, those nations connected to the sacrifices for that day, we do not know which sacrifice connects with which nation. These nations, when the readings are done with enough children of Israel hearing them, they do not feel a lack, and there is no outbreak of anti-Semitic acts of violence from them. On years and days when we do not do our work correctly, the lack that these nations feel is overwhelming, and the results are acts of anti-Semitism. If you don't believe me, follow the statistics that are kept by people who track the results of anti-Semitic actions for yourself, and you will see that I am correct. I hope you will join in keeping anti-Semitic acts to a minimum. I hope you will share with the other nations by listening to the Torah each day during the week of Sukkot. To that extent, every morning during the 7 days at 11 a.m., we will have a short session hearing the Torah reading. I hope you'll join us. Have a wonderful holiday. The seventh day has a special name. The seventh day of Sukkot is called Hoshana Rabbah, the big appreciation, the big thank you. There are additional rituals associated with Hoshana Rabbah. It is next Saturday night and Sunday morning. It's an all-night study Saturday night where we listen to the Sefer Deuteronomy. Why do we do this? Because in the book of Deuteronomy, there is a mitzvah to read the book of Deuteronomy on Yom Kippur, read by the king once every 7 years. But we know we need that energy every year. And thus the sages have told us to read the book of Deuteronomy every Hoshana Rabbah. That night, we are also able to check our shadow. This is not the shadow that you get in the daylight or even in the moonlight. But on this day and every 15th day of every Hebrew month, it is possible to look for the Tzelem Elohim, the shadow of God within us. If that shadow is missing, God forbid, it's an indication that we will be leaving within the 30 days. on Hoshana Rabbah, it's an indication that we would be leaving sometime during the year. And as I have promised, I will be performing Tashlik during that Saturday evening for the people who have asked me to perform that. Now we're going to discuss the last 3 days of the holidays. Hoshana Rabbah is that the first of the last 3 days. It's the last day of Sukkot. Although there is a minhag by many, many different groups within the children of Israel to see Hoshana Rabbah as part of, or to see the next day, the second day, Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day assembly, to see that as part of Sukkot. It is not, according to the writings of the Ari. It's a unique assembly. And the way it's explained by the Ari is with a mashal, a metaphor. Imagine a king who invites all of his subjects to celebrate his birthday for 7 days. Every night there is a party, and every night there's people there who are invited. But on the eighth day, the parties are over. There's no party on the eighth day. But he asks his favorite minister to stay with him and party with him, just the two of them. This is the metaphor. During Sukkot, the 7 days of Sukkot, all of the nations are here in the Sukkah with us as we meditate to share the energy of the readings with them. But on the eighth day, that reading is for us, for the children of Israel. It's not, does not include any of the other nations. I'm continuing to read where it says Hoshana Rabbah. It is the last day of Sukkot, and it receives its unique name from the fact that there are 7 circles done that day. In each of the circles, we say the word Hoshana multiple times. Hoshana is an Aramaic word that is translated as supplication. Thank you. Rabbah is Aramaic and Hebrew that means great or large. Thus, Hoshana Rabbah means great supplication. The code word of this meaning and the reason, in my opinion, the seventh day of Sukkot has a special name. The manifestation of the desire to receive for the light of Hashem to be revealed in the coming year. The Kabbalists teach that during this night, we read from the complete Sefer Devarim, as the Torah tells us to do this once every 7 years. Also, after this reading, the Kabbalists teach that there is a last opportunity to correct any health or financial issues that might take place during the year. And this is done by checking the shadow. I'm going to go into I've had a personal experience of the checking the shadow. One year, there was a new person who came to the Kabbalah Center that night only. When they checked the shadow of this person, a young woman of about 22 or 3, they couldn't see her head in the shadow. They brought her aside and they said to her, "There seems to be a problem. Do you know anything about it?" And she said, "Yes, I've had a brain tumor, a cancerous brain tumor. They've operated, and the doctors have given me less than a month to live." They had her scan certain sections of a tikkunim, some writings of the Ari, and in those writings, it was to correct the issues of the head. She complied with the request to scan, but she was very weak and very tired, and she went home early. She did not stay up all night. During this following 8 months, actually 10 months, I became close to her as a mentor. She would come every Shabbat, Friday evening, to join the Kabbalah Center for its meal and its Shabbat. And since it was an expensive process, and I lived around the block, she would join me for dinner in my apartment. Not just me, but a few people that we would have over. This went on for 10 months. I became close with her. I became aware of much of her nature. And not to speak ill of the deceased, she was a person who had a great desire to receive for oneself alone, and she was working diligently to change it. She volunteered in the Kabbalah Center. She made great effort to allow people to help her, which is not an easy thing to do, even when you are ill. But she succumbed to the angel of death in the month of August, in the month of Leo, the month of her birth. 10 months later, consistent with the time she got tired and left the all-night study at the Kabbalah Center. Personal experience. Another experience was related to me by someone who I trust to say truthfully. There was somebody before I joined the Kabbalah Center. There was somebody who had come to Hoshana Rabbah, and they also could not see her head. And she scanned that same section that related to the young woman I just mentioned. And that morning, after the Aravot were smacked into the ground, which I'll discuss in a minute, this was a middle-aged woman, whatever that means to each person. This woman crossed the street to get to her car, and she slipped and fell. Actually, she didn't slip and fell. She was almost run over, and she dived out of the way of the car that would have killed her. And she hit her head on the curb. she walked that up from this accident with no damage to her head, no bleeding, no broken bones. She got up and went home. The person who told me the part of her head that she hit the curb was what was missing in her shadow. Continuing to read. Another ritual done during this night is performed right after the morning prayer. When we break the givurot, the judgments, by hitting five willow branches against the ground while meditating on the five final letters referred to as the mansipach, the mem tzofit, the nun tzofit, the tzadi tzofit, the pei tzofit, and the kaf tzofit. These five letters relate to the end of days and the coming of the Mashiach. This is what the breaking of the judgments is all about, bringing Mashiach. Here is the recommended Kavanah from the writings of the Arizal to have while hitting the willows. Meditation of the five willow branches, the Aravotes, pronounced Aravot, Ayin Resh Bet Vav Tav. The numerical value of Arava, willow, is 277, the same as Zera, the seed. The Holy Ari taught that when we beat the willow to the ground, we meditate to break, to weaken, to sweeten the judgments. We do not make a blessing on this action because the action itself makes them vessels, not words. The vessels of the willow branches, the aravot, that grow by the water elevate new seeds of light called min, mayim nukvim, female waters, actions below which cause a response in the upper worlds. With each hit on the ground, we break the givurah of one of the five final letters. With each hit of the willow on the ground, we meditate on the shape of the letter and say out loud the name of the letter, Mem Sofit. Hit the willow. Nun Sofit. Hit the willow. Sadi Sofit. Hit the willow. Pei Sofit. Hit the willow, and cock so feet. And if anybody would like me to do this action for them, please send me an email asking me to do so. There is no required donation for this, but it is recommended. There is a wonderful teaching from Rabbi Cook, the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Jerusalem. He is one of the foremost Kabbalists of the 20th century as well. This teaching starts with the Midrash that each of the four species used during the waving of Sukkot represents one part of the children of Israel. The etrog, which has a good taste and a good smell, is a fruit that represents those children of Israel who study Torah and have good deeds and mitzvot to their merit. The lulav, which comes from a fruit tree, represents those people with good deeds and mitzvot to their merit. The myrtle, which has good smell, represents the children of Israel who have Torah studied to their merit. And the aravot, the willow, has neither a good smell nor a good taste, and does not come from a tree with fruit. The aravot represents the majority of the children of Israel. This leads to a question: why would we hit the ground with the willow? Is it punishment for the common person who does not do mitzvot or study Torah? And Rabbi Cook explains a story in the Talmud, and here is its description. In Talmudic times, there was a sect called the Boethusians, who disagreed with many of the rulings of the sages. One disagreement concerned the willow ceremony. The Boethusians prohibited observing this ceremony on the Sabbath. One year, when Hoshana Rabbah fell on the Sabbath, the Boethusians took the willows and covered them with stones. They knew the rabbis would not permit moving the stones on the Sabbath, since stones are muksa. Various categories of objects, such as stones or money and work tools or cars or keys that the rabbis prohibited to be handled on the Sabbath, in order to safeguard the sanctity of the day. On Shabbat morning, however, some simple folk who were ignorant about the prohibition of buksa pulled out the willow boughs from under the stones. Then the Kohanim were able to raise the willows alongside the altar. Why does the Talmud emphasize that this praiseworthy act was performed by common folk? By covering the boughs with stones, the Boethusians had placed the sages in a quandary. If the willow boughs were not used, the Boethusians could cite this as proof that the rabbis had conceded to their opinion that willows should not be raised on the Sabbath. On the other hand, if the rabbis decided to move the stones, the Boethusians could have announced that the rabbinic prohibition of buksa had been abolished. Fortunately, the problem never materialized. The simple children of Israel resolved the dilemma in their own typical manner. They did not ask questions. Rather, alarmed by the scandal, they responded by simply removing the willows from under the stones. In Israel, the minhag is not to enter the sukkah after breaking of the givurot, until the kiddush of the Mashiach, which is done as the last kiddush of Simchat Torah. During this kiddush, there is a prayer for the coming of the Mashiach and the meal of the Leviathan in the sukkah of the Tzaddikim. The day after Hoshana Rabbah is Shmini Atzeret. And the day after that, in outside of Israel, where there are 2 days of holidays, is called Simchat Torah, dancing with the Torah. In Israel, both are done on the same day. And I can tell you that is one very long day. And yet we need to maintain our joy throughout these 9 days. The 7 days of Sukkot, the 8th day assembly, and Simchat Torah. We're almost out of time, so we're going to delay the discussion of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah till we'll either do it Wednesday night instead of our question and answer session, or we will do it next Sunday at this class time. Classes this coming week, except for the 11 o'clock reading of the Torah, There are no classes on Monday or Tuesday. On Wednesday, there's an 11 o'clock reading of the Torah. Excuse me, on Wednesday, there's a reading of the Torah at 11 o'clock. And when I say 11 o'clock, I misconfused you, which is what happened last night that I needed to apologize for. This time is 8 a.m. for the 7 days. The 11 o'clock time is my time zone. And I sometimes get confused living in two time zones. Generally, I don't. I'm able to reconcile it. But last week and just now, I became confused, so I apologize. Wednesday at 8 a.m., there will be a reading of the Torah. Then at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. At 7 o'clock, as we discussed, either we will be reading and talking about Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, or we will answer questions, depending on if there are questions brought. Thursday at 8 a.m. will be a reading of the Torah. And at 4:30 will be advanced reincarnation classes. And at 7 o'clock, our Zohar class. Friday, only the reading of the Torah. Saturday, at 8 o'clock, the reading of the Torah. And at 6 p.m., there will be Havdalah. At 7 p.m., a Zohar class. I have not yet decided if I am capable of doing an all-night study with you. But starting at 11 p.m. West Coast time, there will be the beginning of the reading of the Book of Devarim. And we will just have to wait to see whether that can be completed by me, by myself. Sunday morning at 8 a.m. West Coast time, there will be a reading of the Torah for Hoshana Rabbah, and there will be the Givurot ritual. At 10:30 West Coast time, there will be a class. And know that the following Monday, a week from Monday tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, and a week from Tuesday, is the two holidays of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. And there will not be any classes on those days. Are there any questions? I'm going to unmute the phone. Are there any questions? I bid shalom to all. Have a beautiful day, a beautiful holiday. And please, if you don't listen to our reading of the Torah, which is fine, and you don't go to hear a Torah reading elsewhere, read the Chumash, scan the Hebrew. All of the Chumashim will tell you what the readings are each day. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.